opportunity to do so. Come and study. I don't know about you, but I can turn to 1 Chronicles and look at chapter 1 and just look at it, and then look at chapter 2, and then probably pick out bits and spots of what I might want to read, might not want to read. And as you continue through it, eventually you get to some spots where it's not just listing a bunch of names. We often skip over things like that. I even already, thinking ahead of time is, what we get caught up in studying, if we leave, the Old Testament, go something for a while, and then we come back in the Old Testament, we pick up, and, maybe Kings, and you go away, and eventually you come back to Chronicles. I go, how would I type questions up for that chapter? How would you go about and just figuring out what to talk about? Would I, go try to pronunciate or choose someone else to try to pronounce all these names that are listed throughout here? And so sometimes we might skip over them. We might even go to Matthew chapter 1, and as it lists all the names that lead up to our Lord and Savior, or go to Luke and look at the other spot that it lists as you go down the descendants and the genealogy that leads to Christ. And sometimes we question, even as we was going through class today, we get caught up in speculating on certain things, not really sure on some things, and you might ask why it's in here or if it's important at all to take a look at. So what I want to talk about this evening is just to point out all scriptures. Whether God had put all these names in there for those then that could probably go down the descendants and know exactly who was somewhat talking about and say, oh, that was great, 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 great grandpa, know, those names that are listed there. Or in today's time, as they continue to discover more things that prove more and more that the Bible is correct and finding history that lines up with the Word of God, that they start to find. Sometimes if you do research, you'll see, well, it's never ever has anyone found this clan, this name, this person anywhere in any of this territory. And then years down the road, someone might. And so just a reminder that God put it in there. And so since God put it in there, it's something to take a look at, to consider studying and examining, though it may not be the easiest thing in the world. As we know the Word of God, it's from God. That's what we have to remember about the Bible. Even all these names, if it's listed there in the Bible, it's from God. God's the one that directed these men to write these things. 2 Timothy 3, in verses 16 and 17, there tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. All Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. All these scriptures. And sometimes, and again, I do it myself. I'm not going to sit here and deny it, that as I start, I'm going to read this chapter, or I go through this chapter, and then you kind of look at that and like, I'm going to jump to the next chapter. And, because it's just a bunch of names, or a bunch of cities. And we get caught up in just skimming over it. We get caught up in skimming over it, knowing that it is still the Word of God. That is the Word of God. And remember Deuteronomy 29:29. In Deuteronomy 29 and verse 29, if you open up your Bibles and turn along there, as it reads, it says, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law." Again, sometimes it may not just be chapters like 1 Chronicles, but even just studying what we're studying now in the adult class or any other part of the Old Testament. Some, I know, have had the attitude, probably some that still have the attitude of, why study the Old Testament at all? And to the point, well, life of Christ is in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And the church is in Acts. And then we have letters to churches and the rest of it. And so them are what we need to focus on. Which absolutely, we need to study on that. But we need to remember, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. And God tells us that what He has revealed is given so that we can know stuff. It is revealed to us so that we can have it. God has given this to us. And so there's use for it, and we have to be willing to search the scriptures to find that, to see how it is we can use the Word of God, even the Old Testament, to help us with our faith, to help us as we live our lives. Though we don't go to the Old Testament to find the thou shalt and thou shalt not, because as we see the prophecies in the Old Testament that God was going to establish anew, then we see that He did establish a new covenant, and that we're bound by the new covenant in the New Testament that our Lord had established. There's a lot of examples that we can look to in the Old Testament. We get more detail about the days of creation in the Old Testament. A lot of learning and understanding the prophecies that were made in the Old Testament and be fulfilled in the New Testament. So all scriptures is something we need to be studying as we look to 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 20 says, knowing this, that first, that no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. And so here making it clear that nothing that was prophesied, even sometimes we get caught up and we're reading through it, and without some help of asking questions and searching other people's research that they put together, but nothing in the Word of God is made of private interpretation to the point that it was not given so that we could not understand. God has given us His Word so that we can understand it, because He's given it to us so that we can use it, so that we can grow, so that our work as men of God can be complete. So that we have to be willing to search the Scriptures, be willing to study the harder things. Romans 15 and in verse 4. Romans 15 and verse 4 says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Again, everything written before is written so that we can learn and so that we can have hope through the Word of God. Again, knowing, as we've just studied since I've been here, that we've studied Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, as we're getting into it. And you just study the children of Israel. And you just, again, time and again, why does God allow them to get away? They continue to go and serve the God of Baal. They continue to worship idols. They get caught up in sacrificing children. They get caught up in so much sin. But yet God always has a remnant. Always those who continue the faithful that we don't, you know, just a few. Gives us hope that we can be faithful too. In a world of sin, we can be faithful. In a world of sin, God is merciful. There's a lot that we can learn as we study the Word of God. We need to remember that it's all the Scriptures, though. Everything we have to be willing to study. And again, just because nothing's of private interpretation doesn't mean some things aren't harder. Some things are harder, some things are easy, and we have to know them. There's a starting point in which we should start, and then there's a part in which we should grow to learn. In Hebrews chapter 5, it makes that clear. In Hebrews chapter 5, as we look at verse 12, it says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles, the oracles of God. That you have come to need milk and not solid food, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age, that is, those who by reason use their sense exercise to discern both good and evil. Therefore, leaving the discussion of elementary principles, the elementary principles of Christ, let us go into the perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of the faith toward God. Again here, there's milk, there's solid food. There's things that we want to take and we want to teach to the children. You know, I haven't heard of a class. You tell me wrong if I'm wrong, Susie. You guys had taught the little ones Revelation. Or the prophecies in Daniel. Or, you know, we don't go forth and start little ones off on that. It's not elementary teaching. To sit there and start to explain all these things, and, you know, it's not where we start. We have to have a base to start with to build up to that. And again, I still don't like going over to it and just saying, all right, I have to refresh my mind, get all this, and you start to read it, and you're just like, where are they going with this? Unless you take your time and willing to read and think and study, it's not going to make sense. But when we're willing to study certain things and put in the work, we can understand the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, in verse 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and in verse 1 it says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy, strife, divisions among you, and are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am of Paul, or another, I am of Apollos, are you not carnal?" And sometimes it just comes to that point that we have to train our minds first. It's simply they say you are carnal-minded. Because you got the mind of the world, because you're caught up in envy and strife and division, because you're just caught up in whatever Paul says I'm going to do, or whatever Apollos says, that's what I believe in, and not what does God have to say. Their mindset isn't correct yet. And so they can't start over here on the harder things. They have to start with simply, we're followers of Christ, not followers of men. You have to start with the elementary teachings. The first principles. You've got to let them walk before they can run. In Ephesians chapter 4, and verse 14. Ephesians chapter 4, and in verse 14, says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning and craftiness of deceitful plotting. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together, and every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body, edifying itself in love. No longer being children, tossed to and fro. You might say, I like to play the devil's advocate every now and then. It's more, you know, Casey or the kids, they ask a question, I go, well, do they? Or I kind of just, what about this verse here? Does that not apply? And just, not that I'm really trying to trick them, but making you think. You know, and to the point that if we're out in the world and we're trying to teach someone else, you have to be ready for such questions so that you can answer. And you sit there, I can see where they come with this, but if you apply it to the Scripture correctly and you look at the whole context altogether, or if you look at the topic altogether, then you're going to find a different answer. But if we don't have a firm foundation, if we don't have roots that are dug deep into the ground, and when the wind starts blowing and people start pointing out other verses that you haven't studied yet because you haven't studied the whole topic, and you've just studied one verse, or just part of the verse, then you're going to be easily swayed one way or the other, because you're like, oh, I didn't see that verse before. Oh, I've never seen that before. And so therefore, again, there's easy things and hard things, and just the point is we grow, the harder things will become easy. As long as we have our faith in God, we have that correct way in which we're going to study to learn. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 16, 2 Peter 3 and in verse 16, as it reads here and tells us, it says, also in all the epistles, speaking in them these things, which are some things hard to understand. Some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. As they do also the rest of the Scriptures. It's just that point that untaught people, if you just hear, again, someone who never goes to church, never been to church all their lives, someone get up in their 50s or whatever, someone reads to them verse, saved by faith through grace, saved by grace through faith. What are they going to think? Oh, hey, I'm saved by grace through faith. And it's not false teaching, because we are. But it's not the whole context. And so therefore, if we don't teach, if we don't study, if we don't search the scriptures, if we're not diligent, as we read in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, be diligent to present yourselves, to prove yourselves workmen of God, knowing right from wrong, able to rightly divide the word of God. But understand, if we have a lack of knowledge, we are bound to be lost. We're bound for destruction. Turn to Hosea with me, if you will. And there's actually quite a few verses. I just want to look at a couple that you can look at here as you go throughout Hosea. Hosea 4 and verse 6, here it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also will reject you from being priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I also will forget your children. A lot of it goes with that last part, to that point that they simply have forgotten the words of God. They have forgotten their ways. They forgot who delivered them out of Egypt. They have forgot who's the one that commanded them to build the temple. They forgot how Goliath was defeated. They forgot how the walls of Jericho came tumbling down. They forgot all the things that they passed through the Red Sea. They forgot about Abraham being called and leaving and being willing to sacrifice his only son. They had a lack of knowledge. And again, here in chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, I will not punish your daughters when they commit harlotry, nor your brides when they commit adultery. For men themselves go apart with harlots and offer sacrifices with ritual harlot. Therefore, people who do not understand will be trained. They simply get lost because they do not know. They do not know because they do not study. Because priests probably aren't teaching. Elders aren't. Again, I mean, we're here with in Samuel, and we're only in chapter 10, and we already saw Eli, right? Eli was okay, but his sons weren't. And then we got Samuel himself, and again, his sons weren't walking in his way. Comes down to being taught. Having those who are leading and teaching others, and especially your children. Teaching it. When Moses lived and he wrote the law and what they were supposed to be doing, he told them to write it everywhere. Have it on the fence, so tell them when they lie down, tell them when they rise up. Have it so that they see the law. When they did something spectacular, God would tell them, put this here, so that when they see it, your children see it, and they ask, why is that there? Well, that's because it's a reminder to us of when God allowed us to cross the Jordan. We walked on dry land. And after that, we went up against Jericho, and the walls were great. And there was no way to go in it, and all we did was march around the walls of Jericho. And on that seventh day, they marched seven times, and they blew the trumpets, and they shouted in the walls. Can you imagine being the kid sitting on Grandpa's lap and listening to that story? But they failed to continue to learn, to teach, to understand. And again, the world does not know. The world does not understand. It's a lack of knowledge. Do we prepare ourselves to answer those questions to the young? Why do I got to go to church on Sunday? Why do I got to go on Wednesday? Why do you take the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Answer those questions. Because that's how they're going to learn. It's a reminder to us. We may not have 12 stones stacked up after crossing a river, but we do have a church building we come to. We have services we come to. When we have gospel meetings, why do you take the extra time out? Be ready to answer those questions. Because we want to remember. We don't want to forget. We want to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Romans 10 verse 17 tells us faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But if we stop hearing the Word of God, how much does our faith grow? Better yet, if we stop listening to the Word of God, what are we listening to? And what is our faith growing into? We need to be continuously studying the Word of God. We need to continue to go back to the first principles, the elementary teachings, lest we forget those easier things. And just think, oh, everybody knows that. Be willing to study those things. Be willing to teach on those things. But don't also back away from the harder things. Been years since these things have been written. A lot of studies out there. A lot of false ones. A lot of good ones. You can find the truth. I don't want to leave without extending the Lord's invitation this evening. If anyone's here and they need to obey the gospel, we extend that every time we come together. And of course, that extends any time, any day that God allows us to be breathing. So if it is tomorrow that you come to the knowledge that you need to obey the gospel, let it be known. We'll help you take care of that. But if it's tonight that you know you need to be baptized, please let us know. If you're here tonight and you need prayers of congregation, if there's anything we can do for you, let it be known as we stand and sing.
Days are filled with sorrow and care.